you want to light the thing after I read it? So I'll just have this up. This morning's opening words come from Black Elk, and the title that I've given it is The Sacred Hoop. There I was standing on the highest mountain of them all, and round beneath me was the whole hoop of the world. And while I stood there, I saw more than I can tell. And I understood more than I saw. For I was seeing in the whomever you love. May you find your connection to a source of goodness and serenity. I welcome you, we welcome you to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Manhattan. Let us take a moment to extend goodwill to all those around you. A good traveler, has no fixed plans and is not intent upon arriving. A good artist lets his intuition lead him wherever it wants. A good scientist has freed herself of concepts and keeps her mind open to what is. Thus, the Tao is available to all people and does not reject anyone. It is ready to use all situations and doesn't waste anything. This is called embodying the light. I call your attention to the order of service and the section on the inside with our announcements. So if you're interested in any of these activities, please join. Now let us stand, if you are able and want to, and let us sing with full heart, "'Tis a Gift to be Simple," 16. Now is the time in our order of service when we acknowledge those joys and those moments of sadness in our lives which bring illumination and depth. If you have a personal joy or something that is bringing you sadness and you would like to share it, now is the time to do so. The microphone is back there. Sorry. Our handheld mic is still in the shop.
Hello, everybody. Luke and I just wanted to announce, my name's Katie Meyer, that we are 17 weeks pregnant with our third baby.
Shirley and I had the privilege last Wednesday of throwing the birthday party for my mother in Plainville, her 104th.
Wow.
And I have pictures to show. The interesting part was the ladies at the home speculating about the ages of my mother's two sons, understanding that many of them were younger than my brother and I.
I have some good news. My brother, Patrick, he might be working at the Record Center in St. Louis in January, so he might have a job, so it's all good.
All right.
Larry Weaver, I've had a time of kind of sadness because my son and his wife have been battling with her depression, and my son is not perfectly even keel there either, but he's been holding things together. I've gotten some good news that my daughter-in-law is getting help. And it all came together for me to some extent with a program at the Mac Friday night. And I can't help but, well, I just got to do this. You know, it's darker. There's more times, shorter days, longer nights. But the light is coming back. The light is coming. If you know it, sing it. The light is coming back. Darkness may reign for the moment, but the light is coming back. The light is coming. The light is coming back. Darkness may reign for the moment, but the light is coming back.
I have a concern that my sister has the stomach flu.
Joy that I had a really good birthday.
All right. So for those joys and concerns that find their way to light, may we keep them in our hearts and minds. And let us remember that each of us carry joys and concerns that have not been shared this morning, and they are as important as the ones that are shared. So, Corey, Blake, kids, come on up.
Hello? Awesome. Okay, oh, thank you. So I am so excited today. I'm going to blow some bubbles for you guys.
Wait a minute. No, I won.
I'm going to do it.
No, but I want to do
it.
Well,
we already talked about it. I said I was going to do
it. No, Corey, we talked about this.
I'm mad about this.
No, I am mad about this.
I know what to do. We can take turns. take turns.
Turns, but it's my turn.
And it's my turn.
Do you want to do that, Corey?
We could try it.
What do you think, Blake?
I guess we could try it.
We have to do
that.
Try that. I think
can't adults get angry and not be good?
Well, you have to be good.
Oh, we have to be good. All right, all right, all right.
I can't throw. I really wanted to throw this at him, though. I was getting ready.
That's bad manners.
Bad manners. The point. Very nice.
I went first.
So sneaky. The reason we're talking a little bit about conflict resolution, that's what Leah just did for us. She might be a good mediator someday, right? So what Leah helped us figure out is how to solve our problem without fighting, right? She said to take turns and that we could each have a turn blowing bubbles. And that actually reminds us of someone on our box for guest at your table. This woman right here, her name is Dahlia, and she lives in Egypt. And she's helping with a movement there to bring democracy to that country. Do you guys know what democracy is?
Like when you share, like Leah said?
Like when you share, or when you vote for something by raising your hand. But she's trying to do that by saying, let's not be violent to get what we want. Let's be nonviolent, right? Let's use peaceful means. So that's why she's one of the people that we're going to collect money for so that she can teach her country how to be nonviolent. Okay? Now we're going to blow some bubbles for fun.
Yay!
And actually, if you guys could catch them, that would be awesome. So just catch them.
Can you hold them?
And then hold on to it. Hold on to it and show us. No, you have to.
Can you hold it?
You have to hold on to them. No, no.
Can you hold it?
No, don't break them.
Don't break them. You gotta hold
them. Don't
them.
Break them. Hold them.
We can't do that.
No, hold. Just catch them in your hands and hold them. Why is this so hard?
Come on, hold on to them.
Just keep them as long as you can.
Can't you hold them? Come on.
But they pop.
Wait. You want to try blowing? These are not those.
Gotcha.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Michael's going to talk to us now.
So what is this part right here?
What's that part?
What is it? What's that shape? A circle.
Listen to Michael.
And what does a circle allow us to do?
Blow bubbles.
Yes, of course we can blow bubbles. And what is, why can't you hold on to a bubble?
Because
they pop. They pop. If you touch it at all, they're going to pop.
Why?
Because they're only made out of air and things.
Air and things, yes. So can you hold on to this moment?
No.
I can't hold air.
Can you hold on to last night? Do you still have your breakfast in front of you?
Oh, boy.
No. Do you have last night's dinner in front of you?
No.
Okay, we'll deal with that.
Do you have your bike with you?
No.
No. So, has anybody ever heard of the Tao? You have? And what do you think the Tao is?
Well, my dad goes to there.
Your dad goes to the Tao? Hey, Matt, it's words.
Yay!
Hey, all right. Well, the Tao is like trying to catch a bubble. You can't hold on to it. It's like a circle. It allows for the bubble to form and to float and to be magical in the air and gone. That's like the Tao.
Well, it's kind of, when I blow bubbles outside, they kind of flow away a lot.
Yeah, they do flow away, but where do they go? Yeah. So Blake would like to share a little verse from the Tao that will help us understand all this. It'll really make it clear.
This will clarify everything for you.
I'm gonna hold on to them.
If you realize that all things change, there is nothing you will try to hold on to. If you aren't afraid of dying, there is nothing you can't achieve. Trying to control the future is like trying to take the master carpenter's place. When you handle the master carpenter's tools, chances are that you'll cut yourself.
All right. With that happy note.
I got it. Go now in peace.
Go now in peace. May the spirit of love surround you everywhere you may go.
This morning's offertory music is a special piece inspired by Chinese paintings. It is a contemporary piece which Slavomir has chosen to help us move into the spirit of the Tao. And the Tao doesn't take sides. It gives birth to good and evil. The master doesn't take sides. She welcomes both saints and sinners. The Tao is like the bellows. It is empty but infinitely capable. The more you use it, the more it produces. The more you talk of it, the less you understand. Hold on to the center. Let us receive.
Thank you.
first learned of the Tao from Reverend Peter Morales during a Sunday service at Jefferson Unitarian Church in Golden, Colorado. He described the Tao as a force like a river, and that the river was always flowing. And if you lived your life in harmony with the Tao, that you would be in the flow with the river, and that rocks and other obstacles could easily be avoided because the river slips past them fluidly. And in this sermon, I became very, very attracted to this idea of living life in harmony with the flows of nature and the flow of the way things are. So I began to read the Tao and study the Tao and bought the Tao on tape and listened to the Tao when I was sitting in rush hour traffic between Boulder and Denver, which did help ease things, I think. It has influenced the way that I have lived my life since then, the last 8 years. At times I pick it up frequently and read it. Other times it sits quietly for a while. But the times that I pick it up and read it, it does enrich my life. It has taught me about how to interact with other people, how to deal with difficult situations and difficult people, has given me insight in how to lead others, and has given me a way to look introspectively into myself to understand myself better. So I use the Tao as readings. I meditate on the Tao, and it has had a pretty influential influence on the way that I have been living my life. I'm going to read verse 10, and you're welcome to follow along if you'd like in the handout. Can you coax your mind from its wandering and keep to the original oneness? Can you let your body become as supple as a newborn child's? Can you cleanse your inner vision until you see nothing but the light? Can you love people and lead them without imposing your will? Can you deal with the most vital matters by letting events take their course? Can you step back from your own mind and thus understand all things? Giving birth and nourishing, having without possessing, acting with no expectations, leading and not trying to control. This is the supreme virtue. Some of the verses of the Tao have helped me directly with certain things I wrestle with in my life. As a landscape architect and as a landscape architecture professor, one of the things that I've found that is difficult to do as a designer and difficult to teach designers, especially young designers, students, is the tension that exists between the stuff that we work with and the places that we make. So the stuff we work with as landscape architects are buildings, walls, plants, landforms, water. And the places that we make are the environments in which people experience their lives. And as a student, or a designer at any level, but particularly students, sometimes this tension is difficult to understand. Some students become very, very focused on the stuff. You know, they have to make it look a certain way, or it has to have a particular pattern, or it has to be this big or that big. Others become so focused on the place that they lose track of how the form, how the material shapes the experiences that will occur there. So verse 11 has helped to put a lot of this into perspective for me and has helped me with my teaching of my students. We join spokes together in a wheel, but it is the center hole that makes the wagon move. We shape clay into a pot, but it is the emptiness inside that holds whatever we want. We hammer wood for a house, but it is the inner space that makes it livable. We work with being, but non-being is what we use. I had a recent experience with this idea that Peter Morales, or this interpretation of the Tao that Peter Morales had shared years ago. Over the last week, I've been working on a piece of artwork for my research into photomontage. And I haven't done one of these. I write about this, but I haven't done one in a while. And so I was a little bit out of practice. And I sat down to do it, and as I began to do it, things weren't going the way that I had imagined. And I usually enter into this kind of artistic process with very few expectations, a very kind of loose idea of what I'm hoping to achieve. Like, I kind of want it to be like this, but I'm just going to kind of see how things go. And I struggled with this last week as I began this project, and it was frustrating. And then I made a mistake, there was a happy accident, and I looked at the accident and realized that actually made a lot of sense. It worked. It wasn't what I planned for at all, but it worked. And then I started letting go and let the work inform my decisions, and my decisions were informing the work, and pretty soon I felt like I wasn't working anymore. I was playing. And it took on a life of its own, and I remembered why I liked doing that kind of artwork so much, because it was virtually effortless. And it was something that came from expressions inside that I had, I didn't realize I had. A lot of it was just intuition, kind of instantaneous decision making, and it came out really well. I was really delighted with the final product, and it reminded me very much of why we've been having this discussion group over the last 6 weeks, and why the DAO was important to me, and it was right in front of my face the whole time, but it was good to experience it and be reminded of it. This is verse 73. The DAO is always at ease. It overcomes without competing, answers without speaking a word, arrives without being summoned, accomplishes without a plan. Its net covers the whole universe, and though its meshes are wide, it doesn't let a thing slip through.
Hello, I'm Melissa McKee, and unfortunately my voice is being not being today, so we'll see how I go. Verse 16. Empty your minds of all thoughts. Let your heart be at peace. Watch the turmoil of beings, but contemplate their return. Each separate being in the universe returns to the common source. Returning to the source is serenity. If you don't realize the source, you stumble in confusion and sorrow. When you realize where you come from, you naturally become tolerant, disinterested, amused, kind-hearted as a grandmother, dignified as a king. Immersed in the wonder of the Tao, you can deal with whatever life brings you. And when death comes, you are ready. I've just started studying the Tao, and I do appreciate this chance, and I find myself looking at it through the lens of my different health issues, and this verse really reminds me that I shouldn't always look at everything from the lens of, you know, I'm not the healthiest person, but it's easier to look at it all and deal with it if I just take a step back and say, you know, okay, that's what's going on, but nah. It doesn't matter. Just ignore it. And if I don't pay attention to it, don't focus on it, it's easier to keep a level pace and to walk and to enjoy and just to feel less burdened by life. And I find that, you know, if you empty your mind of all thoughts, let your heart be at peace, and watch the turmoil of things, then the turmoil leaves, which is, for me, it helps. Life will bring you what it will bring you.
This is verse 31. Weapons are the tools of violence. All decent men detest them. Weapons are the tools of fear, and a decent man will avoid them except in the direst necessity. And if compelled, will use them only with the utmost restraint. Peace is his highest value, and if the peace has been shattered, how can he be content? His enemies are not demons, but human beings like himself. He doesn't wish them personal harm, nor does he rejoice in their victory. How could he rejoice in victory and delight in the slaughter of men? He enters a battle gravely, with sorrow and with great compassion, as if he were attending a funeral. So weapons are the tools of fear. To me, this speaks loudly, for I feel that it is fear that creeps in that causes our violence. When you look at someone maybe without a home or a drug problem or who has lost their children, do you see the reality that we are all just a set of situations away from that path? That this person is in pain, suffering, and needs love, not anger, and that this person needs no more violence, that they have probably had enough. This person needs not be judged, just loved. This is where I think our fear takes over, and we create ugliness to surround this person in that situation because we can't or don't want to accept that we could all be that person easily, and that it isn't anything different about that person that creates the situation, that we are all made of the same stuff. Peace is his highest value. If peace has been shattered, how can he be content? This was one of the poems that stuck with me. I was stuck on it when I read it over and over and over and shouted to my captive furry audience at work and sang to them the Tao and spoke to them of it in knowing voices and tried to make it fit. And when it dawned on me that it wasn't that this verse didn't make sense, it was simply that I didn't like it. I didn't like the feeling of the ickiness involved for me, and I wanted to read it and stew over it until it felt good, but this isn't one of those for me. It causes somewhat anguish because for whatever reason I'm kind of stuck on the whole idea that, you know, as a world we hurt what we fear and we fear what we can't face, and we continue to create pain from fear instead of creating peace from love.
The Tao can't be perceived. Smaller than an electron, it contains uncountable galaxies. If powerful men and women could remain centered in the Tao, all things would be in harmony. The world would become a paradise. All people would be at peace, and law would be written in their hearts. When you have names and forms, know that they are provisional. When you have institutions, know where their functions should end. Knowing when to stop, you can avoid any danger. All things end in the Tao as rivers flow into the sea. It's always been really easy to let the importance of an idea get in the way of the idea itself. We could see it really easily when the people who had fought so hard for a constitution passed the Alien Sedition Act just a scant decade after it was ratified. We've all experienced it when we see a message of universal brotherhood and love get used to justify barbarous acts of hatred on both a large and a small scale. And I know I myself am guilty of it when I can see myself dismissing not only what they have to say, but the people themselves, if they can't see the wisdom of my particular point of view, and dismiss them as a lunatic fringe. The Tao cautions us not to let us and our ideals congeal into a cancerous dogma, to prevent them from getting in the way of what we are actually trying to accomplish. If we let the mission get in the way of the point behind the mission.
So I was the member of this group that would come in about 16 minutes late, which is great for a group that meets for only an hour and a half. And I was coming from Fort Riley, where I'm a general pediatrician, where most days I had been there for about 10 or 11 hours. getting peed on and pooped on and puked on and things like that, while my husband held down the fort back at our house with our two little ones, now three on the way. We're crazy. That's fine. So this class was a very, or group was a very centering and important piece for me, but the transition was always really hard for me to make because I would run out to the car and I was eating, I mean, seriously, bread with a ketchup on it or something like that, because that's what I could find, and I needed to eat something because I was already 15 minutes late and I was all the way over at Fort Riley. So by the time I would arrive, this group was just so valuable because they would just smile, like, oh yeah, it's Katie, join us. And there would be a moment where I would just kind of settle in and fall, drop down into this energy level where all of that kind of faded away, and we moved forward with these verses. And we're sharing with you we picked a couple of the verses that really spoke to us the most. So I'm going to be reading from verse 51. Every being in the universe is an expression of the Tao. It springs into existence unconscious, perfect, free, takes on a physical body, lets circumstance complete it. That is why every being spontaneously honors the Tao. The Tao gives birth to all beings, nourishes them, maintains them, cares for them, comforts them, protects them, takes them back to itself. Creating without possessing, acting without expecting, guiding without interfering. That is why love of the Tao is in the very nature of things. So this verse for me as a mom and trying to juggle working and being a good wife and being a good mom and sometimes being kind of mediocre at all of those things is just, this speaks to me the part where it says creating without possessing. How many times do we make something or have a project or have something we're working on and we have a very well-defined idea of what we intend for that to turn out to be? Parenthood, for example. Acting without expecting is for me probably the biggest challenge and call to non-action in this whole thing. Guiding without interfering. I'm just really grateful to this group, Michael, because I feel like I will continue to work on these things in all aspects of our lives.
Good morning. I have selected verse 61. When a country obtains great power, it becomes like the sea. All streams run downward into it. The more powerful it grows, the greater the need for humility. Humility means trusting the Tao, thus never needing to be defensive. A great nation is like a great man or a woman. When they make a mistake, they realize it. Having realized it, they admit it. Having admitted it, they correct it. They consider those who point out their faults as their most benevolent teachers. They think of their enemy as the shadow that they themselves have created. If a nation is centered in the Tao, if it nourishes its own people and doesn't meddle in the affairs of others, it will be a light to all nations in the world. It will be a light to all nations in the world. John Winthrop in 1630 wrote on board the Arbella en route to Massachusetts, "We must always consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us." Building the city on the hill can lead in different directions. Ronald Reagan envisioned a shining city, a tall, proud city, built on rocks stronger than oceans. In response to this proud city that Ronald Reagan envisioned, Mario Cuomo stated in his 1984 keynote address at the Democratic National Convention, "Even with this shining city, there is despair in your shining city. For the people who are excluded, all they can do is stare from a distance at that city's glimmering towers." To repeat, If a nation is centered in the Tao, if it nourishes its own people and doesn't meddle in the affairs of others, it will be a light to all nations in the world.
Dave McKee. I'm an experimental physicist. I work in particle physics. It's big science, and I have these projects I'm involved in, a 1,000-ton detector here and a 10,000 channels of data there, and yet the work I do is always very small, very focused, one little project. And so verse 63 is in some sense natural here. Act without doing, work without effort. Think of the small as large and the few as many. Confront the difficult while it is still easy. Accomplish the great task by a series of small acts. The master never reaches for the great. Thus she achieves greatness. When she runs into a difficulty, she stops and gives herself to it. She doesn't cling to her own comfort. Thus problems are no problem for her.
So number 70, I would like for all of us to look at it, and if you feel inspired, to read it together. And when we say my teachings, it means everyone. The master is all of us. So that's what is intended by the Tao, I believe. So let us begin. My teachings are easy to understand and easy to put into practice, yet your intellect will never grasp them, and if you try to practice them, you'll fail. My teachings are older than the world. How can you grasp their meaning? If you want to know me, look inside your heart.
I'm Ron Parks, and I appreciate being invited to participate in the Tao group. My verse is number 71. Not knowing is true knowledge. Presuming to know is a disease. First realize that you are sick, then you can move toward health. The master is her own physician. She has healed herself of all knowing. Thus, she is truly whole. We live in a socioeconomic order that is premised on what we know to a great degree, and this is a radical challenge to our rock-solid position that we think we hold. But it does offer a lot of questions in terms of what do we in fact know in a psychological sense? Who are we really? And when we think about other people, including our own identity, how certain are we of our conclusions, our thoughts, and our judgments that we're making? Just how certain are our positions about that universe, the people that we share this life with, and our own place in this? This verse goes beyond challenging the certainty of all this, and even posits the radical notion that perhaps this kind of knowledge is a sickness, raises a lot of profound questions.
Thank you. this summer when I had a little time, I was going through a bunch of boxes that need to be gone through, and a lot of it needs to be probably put into our fire pit and burned. But in the midst of those papers, I'm just a paperholic, I found this wonderful handwritten verse from the Tao that was given to me many years ago. I can't even remember who it was. I can't hold on to that past. But when I read it, I thought, oh, what a gift. And it lives again and again. And in this translation, it says, along the way to knowledge, many things are accumulated. Along the way to wisdom, many things are discarded. Less and less effort is used as things arrange themselves. Harmonious action maintains control. Exertion upsets the balance. In the Tao Te Ching, we're asked to look at the entire cycle from birth to death and beyond in the largest context imaginable, the cosmic. And I've wondered about its wisdom in terms of those who are edging towards 60, over the hump of 60, flying into their 80s and into their 90s, and like with Bryce's mother, 104. So how does the Tao instruct us? I think this is a perfect passage. Along the way to knowledge, many things are accumulated. We love to gather facts and information, but I find as I age, I don't want all that stuff cluttering my mind. I want it to transform into something concentrated that when touched opens up and blooms like a flower. Along the way to wisdom, we discard so much of those things we thought were absolutely necessary to being a well-informed and educated person, because that education and that all those things that informed us seem to have transformed into us, that we become those things. We no longer need to cite from Plato or from Socrates or from a great poet, Elizabeth Bishop, or from a great philosopher. While those things remain wonderful and they can receive again our attention, if they're not somehow embodied as we age, I think we're losing the whole gift of aging. Because you don't need 12 rooms for one person. But when you're 25, you might think you want 30, or maybe you want one of those tiny little places. But those ideas are put aside. Less and less effort is used. You don't need to run a marathon unless you want to at 94. But when you're 38 or 40 and you still would like to be young, you may try running a marathon. There are people who are in their 90s that are still running marathons. But you find that you may not need to do as much as you thought you wanted to do at age 75. Keep in good shape, but you don't need to exert so hard. Isn't that a gift? You don't have to do everything. You don't have to go to every lecture unless you're so inspired. You can let your intuition, your intelligence, your sense of what creates wholeness in you lead the way. Some may wonder how this relates to Unitarian Universalism. And I think it is profoundly Unitarian Universalist text. A Bible, if you will. But if you look back in the history of the Unitarians, at least, and then as it moves into the merger in 1961, the Unitarian Universalist, and singing them, are you Hymns to the Celebration of Life, 1969. There were five verses from the Tao. In 1937, Hymns of the Spirit, there was not one message, not one verse, not one inclination that the Eastern wisdom tradition existed or that there were Native Americans, indigenous people, or that there were other ways of looking at the world. All of the text that is found in the back of that book or in the front of that book comes from the Bible. Every single verse. There are no women represented as authors. Now, if you jump to our current hymnal, Singing the Living Tradition, 1993, we find 6 verses from the Tao. So we're moving forward, at least in the tradition of inclusiveness. And there are many women who are present in the readings in our hymnal. There are many traditions ranging from the Native American to the Hindus to the Jewish tradition, which, of course, was a part of the original 1937 edition, because there are many verses from the Psalms, many, many verses. I would say half of the verses or half of the quotations that are in that hymnal come from the Psalms. So why is the Tao hold, or is it a vessel for Unitarian Universalism? I can remember back in the early 80s when I had just moved to California and I was obsessed with wanting something. I was so obsessed that's all I could think about. It was controlling my life. It was making me do strange and embarrassing things. And I just couldn't get myself outside of it. And then I met a friend who was one of those life coaches. He had a PhD in psychology, but he preferred doing it his way. And he gave me a copy of the Tao Te Ching. And I opened that book, and I thought, what in the heck is this stuff? From darkness to darkness, all things come? What's that? And then I was hooked. And that whole obsession that I was trying to let go of or trying to achieve seemed to soften. And other things could flow through. There was more room in my life for other people, other ideas, other possibilities. It didn't have to be this one thing. At 28, sometimes it's that one thing that you want so bad that includes everything else. And for maybe others, it's not that way. But perhaps you've also had that experience in your life when all you can think about is what you don't have. And really, if you live inside the Tao, or if the Tao is recognized inside you, you have everything. You are born in and out of the Tao. I would like to read number 23. Express yourself completely, then keep quiet. Be like the forces of nature. When it blows, there is only wind. When it rains, there is only rain. When the clouds pass, the sun shines through. If you open yourself to the Tao, you are one with the Tao, and you can embody it completely. If you open yourself to insight, you are at one with insight, and you can use it completely. If you open yourself to loss, you are at one with loss, and you can accept it completely. Open yourself to the Tao. Then trust your natural responses, and everything will fall into place. In 29, which is not included in our insert, it says at the center, there's a time for being ahead, there's a time for being behind, there's a time for being in motion, there's a time for being at rest, there's a time for being vigorous, a time for being exhausted, a time for being safe, a time for being in danger. So if you put that in the context of this large cosmological framework or lack of framework, because there is no framework, because it keeps on going and going, lots of people and I have struggled as we went through the Tao, how then can you get through your day? If you're always thinking way out here, how can you drive your car safely? Well, I think that's one of the great, not contradictions, but tensions that the Tao allows us to explore in our lives. How do we keep the incredible beauty of a morning like this inside of us if we're angry? That tension is there. If we need to make an important decision, it doesn't mean that you don't use your mind, because that's a part of everything. It doesn't mean you don't use your hands if you need to do something, but you do it fully. You're so present, like Blake was saying, when he's making this collage, you get lost in what you're doing. So therefore, you are a part of everything. But sometimes we know that we are distracted and we're fractured and we're split in 10 different ways as we're answering the phone, we're washing the dishes, taking something out of the freezer, we're thinking, oh, I forgot to get that thing in the mail, so you run and get that letter and put a stamp on it, or it's an email you're doing while you're talking and drinking coffee, and, well, you know what it's like. So is the Tao not present in those moments? Yes, of course it is. That cosmological tension out of which we all come, out of which we all flow, out of which we all find something that is absolutely true inside ourselves, requires complete attention, a full circle of inwardness and outwardness merging and floating like those bubbles, but you can't hold on to it. You can't grasp it. It just disappears. This beautiful film, this circle, this bubble, this life, lifting up, floating away, magical. The Tao calls all of us. It's inside all of us. So, now is a time for anybody who would like to share experiences where they have found themselves all of a sudden collapsing into fusion, into clarity, into something that brings a wholeness that surprises you. Like Blake was mentioning with the collage, when you get lost and all of a sudden an hour is gone, or 2 hours, or 7 hours. How does that happen in your life? How has it happened? Does it happen? Here we go. Okay. I think he's going to come up here.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to ask a question of the panel that spoke, because it's an interesting philosophy or view on life. And for some reason, I can't escape the notion that it seems a little escapist. Is that something that is that a criticism that's leveled toward Taoism? Can anybody answer that?
And I'm going to answer that because not in the, yeah. But the reason I'm going to answer it is because what I was thinking about was when I discovered the Tao Te Ching in college, and I was telling my father about it. He said exactly that. So yes, it's been something. It's been a charge that's been leveled. Now, in particular, I was thinking about stopping my pursuit of a physics degree and going on studying philosophy, and that seemed to him also very escapist. And a kind of thing. No, you can't doing without doing. You know, that sounds like laziness. It sounds like, you know, getting away. And it's a very hard thing to try to hold that tension between still having goals, things you want to work towards, yet not holding on to that too strongly. I think the idea is, from my view of it, doesn't mean you run away from things, but it means that it's about the way you pursue things. You don't let yourself get too attached to what it is you're pursuing.
I think that's a great answer, and I just add that it's a full engagement. So it's not escapist at all. It's being fully inside what you're doing.
I might just also add that escapist suggests, at least to me, that you are not present, that you are trying to not deal with the situations at hand, where the teaching of the Tao is very much about being fully present and fully engaged in what is happening here and now. And so I don't see it as escapist. I can see where that perception, especially on a first reading of it, might appear that way. But if you're fully present, you can't really escape, I don't think.
So the focus is your attention rather than diversity.
I have a question regarding the Tao. Is this similar to the Buddhist teachings of mindfulness and non-attachment? I mean, is it similar to those teachings as well? Yeah? Okay.
It is, but the difference between, an important distinction I think can be made between Buddhism, and this is something I should have touched on when I think it's essentially, quintessentially Unitarian Universalist, is that it's not person-centered. There's no figure at the center of the Tao. It's all of us. It's all things. So I think there's an important movement away from an embodied person as carrying the wisdom, because we are all asked to carry the wisdom. That's another service.
I just want to recite a poem that I think embodies a lot of what we've been thinking about here this hour. 10,000 flowers in springtime, the moon in autumn, a cool breeze in summer, in winter, snow. If your mind isn't clouded with unnecessary things, this is the best season of your life.
Hi, I'm in the back here. I just wanted to say I'm really grateful to the person. Sorry about that. You should go. I'll wait.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm grateful to the person who asked the question about action, non-action, and whether it's escape or an excuse to ignore getting our hands dirty in the dirtier parts of the world. As a student of mindfulness and non-attachment, and as my great yoga teacher teaches me ease and alertness, I've always had to be critical of that aspect. And I think in all of these traditions we're talking about today, whether it's the Tao or Buddhist traditions, there's the potential to take a road of misuse. And that road would allow us to somehow feel elite or superior and detached and different from the people in the mud, and not to reach out to them in their despair. And these are also Christian ideas, right? That we are with the ones in despair. So it is an interesting tension, I think, in those teachings, and something to be aware of. But I really wanted to, I'm almost done here. I wanted to quickly share one of those experiences that Michael was talking about. It was a Sunday morning, which I usually spend at home, hardly dressed, drinking coffee, instead of being here with you all. And I was with my family, my two little girls and my husband, and thinking about everything I needed to do that day, work, laundry, cleaning, getting the cat hair out of the house, all that stuff, and really not being present with my beautiful little kids. My 10-year-old was agitating to do face painting that day because we had bought her a face painting kit the day before. And somehow we just gave in. So we're sitting in the kitchen having our coffee, and before we know it, my husband was painted up as a pirate with an eye patch and a fake beard. And I had a huge butterfly across my face. And my daughter Iris was a cat. And we decided just to spend the rest of the day in our bathrobes with these face painting on. And it was one of the best days as a family that I think we've had in a decade. So it was that kind of day.
Very Taoist.
I was just going to say I had a talk with Michael a few weeks ago, which changed my feelings about myself and the world. And the things that I found out could be very angering, but they helped me to detach and deal with realities that I had not been able to deal with in 85 years.
One response to your concerns, Katie, about it being detached. The Tao is anything but detached because you go to the lowest places where the mud is. That's where the Tao exists. It's in the mud. It's the humility, the humiliation. It's all of those things. So to even think that it's this magic bubble I was like having floating around in your imagination, it's also the mud. It's all those things. So thanks. I would really like to extend a very special thanks to Blake, who has been a marvelous collaborative partner in this venture, and to all the people who joined us on Tuesday nights? Tuesdays, right. Yes, we had sometimes 12 or 13, but it was a marvelous experience, and everyone was willing to stretch, and if they didn't, they cracked the whip. So thank you all. Let us now sing our closing hymn 323, Break Not the Circle, and stand if you want. And let us sing.
Men are born soft and supple. Dead, they are stiff and hard. Plants are born tender and pliant. Dead, they are brittle and dry. Thus, whoever is stiff and inflexible is a disciple of death. Whoever is soft and yielding is a disciple of life. The hard and stiff will be broken. The soft and supple will prevail. Go in peace.